this is Flannery calling in for a sound check.
Hey, Flannery, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Mic check, 1, 2.
Sounds good.
Microphone check, 1, 2.
Also good.
Mic check.
Sounds good.
Testifier 1, mic check.
Sounds good.
Testifier 2, mic check.
Sounding loud and clear.
Microphone check, 1, 2.
Also good.
Mic check, 1, 2.
Sounds good.
Mic check, 1, 2.
Sounds good.
Co-chair check.
Also good.
Co-chair coat check.
Sounds good.
And final mic check.
Sounds good.
Forever.
All right,
thanks.
Have a good meeting.
Bye. Microphone check, 1, 2. Microphone check, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2. Testifier check, 1, 2. Microphone check, 1, 2. Chair check, 1, 2, 3. Chair check, 1, 2, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Check, check. Co-chair check, 1, 2. Co-chair check, 1, 2.
Hey,
Morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, April 16th, 2019, and the time is 9:03 a.m. We are meeting in the Senate Finance Room in the State Capitol. Please silence your cell phones. This is Co-Chair Natasha Von Imhoff, and I'm joined today by Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Olson, and Senator Michicki. We also have President Giesel joining us as well. We have a quorum to do business. On today's agenda, we have three bills. Senate Bill 44, Telehealth Physician Assistance Drugs. Senate Bill 95, Alaska Railroad Corporation Land Transfers. And Senate Bill 92, PFD Contributions to the General Fund. I'd like to direct members' attention to the CS for Senate Bill number 44, an act relating to the prescription of drugs by a physician assistant without physical examination and providing for an effective date. Senate Finance first heard this bill on April 9, 2019. We took public testimony and discussed the fiscal notes. There is a committee substitute for consideration. Senator Wilson, can I have a motion to adapt the committee substitute?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 44, version 31-LS0019-K before the committee as a working document.
I will object for the purposes of discussion and ask my staff, Julie Lucky, to explain the changes in the CS.
Madam Chairman, can I ask for a brief at ease? I might have, we did have two CSs come in, so I might have gotten the wrong version letter on the CS, but I'd like one moment to double check that before we proceed.
We have a brief at ease to check the CS. We're back on the record. I'd like to the record to show that Senator Hoffman has joined us. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to amend my motion here. I'd like to move committee substitute for Senate Bill 44, version 31-LS0019-E as an echo before the committee as a working document.
Thank you, Senator Wilson, for the correct version of the CS. Julie Lucky, will you please present the changes, and I still object.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky, and I'm staff to the Senate Finance Committee. The bill before you today is, the CS is mostly a collection of technical changes. At the previous committee hearing, there was a question about why, in some cases, the word patient was used versus person. We had a very lengthy conversation with our legal staff, and what they had told us is that the word patient will be used at times when there is an established patient relationship and the individual is always the person being treated. Occasionally, the word person is used, and that would indicate that it might not be the person being treated, such as in a parent-child relationship, it might be the person giving consent, or if it's talking about a body of people that are not currently patients. So therefore, in order to accommodate that change, the bill was changed on page 3, line 2, and actually the change where patient was being changed to person has been removed. There was also a small typo that was changed in that same section. There was an inadvertent, on page 3, line 5, there was an inadvertent cite to C of the section. C did not exist, so that was just a typographical error that was changed. The other changes in the bill are adding a section 5 and section 6, and what those do is allow the department to immediately begin working on their regulations. As the committee may recall, the effective date of this bill was March 1st, 2020. The reason that that effective date was chosen was to allow the department to promulgate regulations, but the bill did not have a section saying that that could take place immediately. And so by adding sections 5 and 6 to the bill, we allow the department to immediately start on the regulations process. The bill would remain effective as of March 1st, 2020. And those are all the changes in the CS, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the CS? I also would like the record to state that Senator Schauer has joined us. I will remove my objection. Is there further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing no objection, the CS is adopted. Is there any further committee discussion on this bill? Senator Wilson, can I have a motion? Oh, you have a Senator Michiki.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. This, you know, I introduced the original telehealth bill that we put into Senate Bill 74, and certainly our intent that if you were authorized for practicing in this manner under a physician, that you should be authorized to practice telehealth in the state of Alaska. It has been remarkably successful across the country, and I think it's going to dramatically reduce costs without putting patients at risk. So it was the intent. I didn't think it needed to be cleaned up, but apparently it has, because it's been a burden for PAs. So I appreciate the bill coming forward. I just wanted the public to hear that this is not any different than what we're doing today. It just authorizes PAs to practice in a way that they do every day across the state.
Thank you, Senator Michiki. Well put. Senator Wilson, can I have a motion to move the bill?
Yes, thank you. Madam Chair, I move Senate Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 44, version 31 LS0019/E from committee with accompanying physical notes and committee recommendations.
Is there objection to moving the bill from committee? Seeing no objection, the bill moves from committee. Members, please be sure to sign the committee report as we move to our next agenda item. I'd like to direct members' attention to Senate Bill number 95, an act approving the transfer of certain Alaska Railroad Corporation land and providing for an effective date. This land is in Whittier. The previous land that we looked at a previous bill was up north on Otter Lake, so this is a new parcel. I'd like to invite Renee Vamos to present the bill. Please identify yourself for the record and begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Renee Vamos, staff to Senator Coghill. Senate Bill 95 is a bill that gives legislative approval for the sale of a parcel in Whittier, approximately 58,000 square feet of land that the Whittier Manor Condominium Association owns a 100-condo complex. The lease is due to expire. It was a 40-year lease. It expires December 31st of this year, and the Whittier Manor Condo Association has been negotiating with the city of Whittier and the Alaska Railroad for approximately 10 years to purchase this property, and all three parties have come to an agreement. The land will sell for $170,000. This will also terminate a master lease that the railroad had with the city of Whittier to manage this land. So the proceeds will go to Alaska Railroad, but the Alaska Railroad will also give 52% of the proceeds to the city of Whittier to extinguish the lease. Just to do a short sectional, section one of the bill is the legal description of the land to be purchased. There's only one section to it, but subsection A is the legal description. Subsection B just recognizes that there will be a survey, and if there's any modifications in the description, that will be covered with the bill. The section C requires fair market value, and section D is the language that the legislature gives permission for the purchase. I'm available for questions.
Thank you. I do see the bill here. Senator Coghill, would you like to come to the table and add a few words?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Coghill, Senate CB. Thank you for hearing the bill. And Senate Bill 95 helps solve a longstanding issue, gets this Whittier Manor into private hands, gets the railroad out of an entanglement with the city, solves that problem. I think the private ownership of this is going to increase not only the tax base, but the ability to improve this manor, which I think would be in a tough place if this doesn't happen. So it's an important bill. Thank you for hearing it.
Thank you. We do have Before we go with questions here with our bill sponsors, just to let committee members know that we do have invited testimony from the Whittier Condo Association members. But before we go on to that, is there any questions from committee members for Senator Coghill or Ms. Moss? Okay, we have invited testimony. I see Barb Blakely with Whittier Manor Condo Association. Barb, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Well, please state your name for the record and please provide your testimony.
Good morning, and I'll try to be brief. My name is Barbara Blakely. My husband, Norm, and I reside on the Kenai Peninsula, and we also own a condo in Whittier, in the Whittier Manor, which, as Ms. Moss said, is a 100-unit complex that sits on the bay in Whittier, just above the rail yard. I serve on that condo board as its vice president. The property the condo sits on is owned by the Alaska Railroad Corporation, and our 40-year lease of the property is set to expire December 31st this year. We've been trying for years to purchase the property from the railroad, and at the very least, to get another long-term lease. The matter has been complicated by the master lease agreement that the railroad has with the city of Whittier, whereby as some of the Alaska Railroad leases expire in the city of Whittier, the management of those leases will be assumed by the city, and ours is one of those leases. A long-term lease is not possible for us because as of December 31st, we would have to negotiate with the city of Whittier, and their master lease is set to expire in 2033. It's been a real time of uncertainty for the condo owners in Whittier Manor, and our property values are declining. There are some units that are up for sale, but financing is unavailable due to the lease situation. We've finally come to an agreement between the Alaska Railroad Corporation, the City of Whittier, and the Whittier Manor Association, whereby the railroad will sell the land to the Whittier Manor Association. It will be a good thing for all parties involved. The manor, of course, will own the property it sits on, and our property values can stabilize and we can regain the security that we want. The city will be compensated for their loss of income, and in addition will receive property taxes that were not, of course, levied on the railroad. And the railroad will receive some funds, which in the scheme of things doesn't seem like a lot of money, but every little bit helps. And the biggest asset, I believe, to the railroad will be the goodwill that the sale will generate for the railroad. It's very simple. All parties agree. It will be good for all parties involved. And all we need now is for the Alaska legislature to sign off on the deal. I know, especially this year, with all this on your plates, this is not an extremely important issue to you, but it's very important to us. And I ask that you please support and move this bill on and help us get the security that we want. I'd like to especially thank Senator Coghill for introducing the bill and our own Senator Peter Michicki for co-sponsoring. Thank all of you for your time today, and I especially thank you for your service this year.
Thank you, Ms. Blakely. Is there any questions for the committee members? Okay, we do have, just to let committee members know, we do have two people from the Alaska Railroad Corporation available for questions, if there should be any. So that is all for invited testimony. I do have two folks, it looks like, signed up for public testimony. If there's no questions by the committee, I'd like to open public testimony. I see two people online. Mr. Dutch LaCour with the Whittier Manor Condominium. Mr. LaCour, you have 2 minutes for public testimony. Please state your name for the record and begin when you're ready.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Dutch LaCour, president of the Whittier Manor Condominium Association. And Barb just laid it out pretty well. We are under time constraint, and I look at it as it does not cost the state of Alaska any money. We provide the funds, and like I said, Whittier gets a tax base increase, and it just takes the legislature to approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have on the line Brent Cole. Mr. Cole, if you can hear us, state your name for the record and begin your testimony when you're ready.
My name is Brent Cole, and I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. I'll be short. I've been helping Whittier Air Manor for several years to put this transaction together. We want to thank Railroad. They have gone out of their way this year to make this happen. We want to thank the city of Whittier. This is a positive event for all three parties. As Senator Coggo emphasized, the railroad doesn't need this property right now, and this unites the property with the building so that the people there can buy and sell their property just like anything else, and it eliminates the restraints that have come with a long-term, which is now a short-term lease. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Is there anyone else online? Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify? Seeing and hearing none, public testimony is closed. We do have, again, two folks from the railroad if there's any questions. Are there any questions by committee members for the bill sponsor? Okay, Senator Machicki, can you please review the fiscal notes?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I have one fiscal note. It is number one, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Railroad Corporation. The allocation is Alaska Railroad, and the OMB component number is zero. I show a zero fiscal note on both operating and capital, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. We will set Senate Bill 95 aside for further review. Please let my office know as soon as possible if you have any concerns or amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'd like to direct members' attention to the CS for Senate Bill number 92, an act relating to contributions from permanent fund dividends to the general fund, and invite Senator David Wilson. Can you identify yourself for the record, please? Thank you.
Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson.
Hi, and good morning, Madam Chair. This is Senator David Wilson for District E, and thank you, Finance Committee, for hearing Senate Bill 92 this morning. We've heard from many, many Alaskans who are interested in donating all or portion of their PFD permanent fund dividend to the general fund to help support government to help reduce services. We've received a plethora of testimony over the past few days, and some of those written testimonies, we've heard, take my PFD. I'm willing to receive a reduced PFD. Please pass into Bill 92 so people can afford to donate their PFD and give to the general fund as they would like to. We've heard from several Alaskans over the past years about, as these debates have continued through this building, upon taxation and what to do with the amount of the PFD and what services to fund with the government. And so thus we created a Senate Bill 92, which is a simple tool or mechanism for these individuals to donate to the general fund. If you want to donate to the general fund, that's your choice. Feel free to do so. If you choose to keep your PFD, that is also your choice. And so we just believe that Senate Bill 92 is all about the freedom to make your own decision and not having government to make that decision for you. Before you, Madam Chair, is a section analysis. I can go through the section analysis if you would like.
Yes, please.
For the section analysis for Senate Bill 92, version M, adds a section 1, adds a new section, AS43.23135, contributions to general fund, and our Title 3 of our revenue taxation statute in Chapter 23 deals with the permanent fund dividends. Part 1, page 1, lines 3 to 15, continuing to page 2, line 1, defines the parameters and increments for contributing to the general fund. It establishes donations through pick, click, gift, take priority over donations to the general funds if there is a shortfall. So if you donate too much to the general fund and too much pick, click, give would be the beneficiary and winner over that. And by the way, that this is no way, shape, or form trying to challenge or compete with Pick, Click, Give. This is a separate page. We just want to make sure that's very clear for those folks at home watching or any other issues, that this is no way, shape, or form is trying to compete with the charitable givings of Pick, Click, Give. This also requires a 7% administration fee, similar to Pick, Click, Give, to be donated to from the donations to the general fund to help pay for the administration of this program. Page 2, lines 2 through 4, Part B of Section 1 notes that the public agency that claims a dividend for individuals on behalf is not permitted to make contributions from that dividend. So folks that are under other people's control, sort of like OCS, have guardianship, you're not allowed to make the donations of those individuals that you have guardianship over. Part C, lines 2, lines 5 through 8, states that there's a separate from Pick, Click, Give button from the applications. And if you want, we can also go through the physical note of this piece of this bill, too.
Why don't you go ahead, please? Yes.
Okay. Version M of the physical note for the Department of Revenue, if the requires an additional option at the end of the electronic fund dividend application. This option allows individuals to donate again a portion or part of their PFD to the general fund, with a 7% of those who donated from funds being used for the administrative costs. This would require about 65 hours of programming at a rate of about $120 an hour. So we're looking at $7,800 for the first year. The annual maintenance for the program going on through, will be about $1,200 for updates, bugs, fixes, trainings, and to respond to report requests. This is, again, there's no way to predicting how many people would donate to the program, so that revenue is not counted in this note. And in closing, I just want to appreciate the committee again for considering Senate Bill 92, and I believe Alaskans who wish to contribute to the permanent fund dividend and to the general fund with a simple option to do so. And with that, we can answer any questions. And also, Ann Westlake, the director of permanent fund, is here from the Department of Revenue, and Pam O'Leary, director of Treasury, is also here to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Are there any questions for Senator Wilson on this bill? We don't have any invited testimony, but we do have two people, like Senator Wilson mentioned. We have Ann Weske, Director of Permanent Fund Dividend Division, as well as Pamela Leary, Director of Treasury, available for questions. And I can go into public testimony. Seeing no questions, okay. Public testimony is now open for Senate Bill 92. Do we have anyone online wishing to testify? Do we have anybody in the room wishing to testify on Senate Bill 92? Seeing and hearing none, public testimony is closed. So we've gone through a sectional, we've gone through a fiscal note. Are there any further questions by committee members? Chair Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was just kind of curious if you could help me with, I know the credit agencies look to the permanent fund dividend as a way of collecting a lot of funds that are owed different groups and businesses and individuals around the country. So if, I'm just kind of curious, Madam Chairman, if you have some garnishments against you or say bills turned over to credit agencies, if then you could basically gift away the dividend to the state, thereby not having any of your dividend monies used to pay your debt obligations.
Yeah. So I would like to bring up Ann Weske, and if you could answer the question in terms of, thank you, Jasmine, if someone has their PFD that potentially could be garnished for any number of reasons, when he or she applies for the permanent fund dividend, are they even allowed to apply? And does that option come forward if they have a garnishment filed with you?
For the record, Ann Weske, Permanent Fund Dividend Division Director. Through the chair, Senator, when people apply for their permanent dividend, there's a priority order for which they pay out in, and garnishments are first. So if they gave to the general fund, but they had a garnishment, all those funds get taken first. so they couldn't bypass a garnishment.
Senator Sedman?
So what I'm hearing, Madam Chairman, is if the deadbeat dads around the state, they're not going to be able to give the dividend to the state, that the dividend then would help take care of their obligation, which is their obligation.
Through the chair. Senator, you're correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, I've talked to the sponsor about this on this bill. This doesn't, it makes it a convenience, but it doesn't change what people can do today. Today, people can receive their check and then sign it and give it to the state. What I'd like for us to consider is to, and you'll see a legal services memo in there, is to consider a way for people to do it tax-free. So what this bill does, it allows them to do it online, what they can do today by receiving the check and giving it back. But the example I use is a $3,000 dividend with a 30% tax rate. It will cost you $900 to participate. And I think there are ways to do it, because if you technically do not receive, you never have control of the funds. And this memo talks about that, and I think it's something we should think about. Because people will take advantage of this program if they don't have to spend $900 to do it. Do you know what I mean, Madam Chair?
I do. It does say in the sponsor statement that in some cases, the donation to the state's general fund can be counted as a charitable donation for federal tax purposes. However, is it advised that Alaskans consult with a tax professional to verify how this may apply to them individually? Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, that is correct of the $2,100 that's left. But in every case, it will cost you the original $900 if you're at a 30% bracket in order to have control of the $2,100 that's left to donate to the state. So that's the part I'm talking about, is we should at least consider a way to make it tax-free. And you'll see in the memo that there are some suggestions. That way, $3,000 can be contributed, and people would use it a lot more if they weren't penalized than $900 in order to participate.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. We are not passing this bill from committee today, so if you have amendment ideas, please get with my office in the upcoming days, and we can take a look at it. Did you have any comments, either one of you, about Senator Machicki's question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, we do want to make sure that people do contact their tax professionals and consultants if they wanted to try to arrange a way that you would just want to keep, if you got a $3,000 dividend, your tax rate was 30%, your recommendation would be you just donate the $2,100 and keep the $900 so you can pay off the taxes off of that. The only other way, because if you have an option to click to say I don't want that, that's still within your domain of having that, so it still becomes money that you control to give that option. And so we have not found a way around that yet to make it a total tax-free, because if we can, that would benefit all the beneficiaries of a tax donation, such as Pick, Click, Give, would also benefit from that same scenario as well. And so we're always open to try to help improve the taxable donations and charitable contributions to our great state. But we just haven't found a way around that. And also, just want to point out that, you know, the state of Alaska is one of the largest charitable, organizations in the state of Alaska. You know, we fund our health and human services, we fund education, workforce development, scholarship programs, programs for housing and homelessness. So, you know, this is one of the largest organizations in our state, if not the largest, that helps provide to these services of our folks and taking care of our, the elderly, children, and disabled, our vulnerable populations as well.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Wilson, is this the genesis of this bill is a direct result from you hearing from constituents in your district?
Around the state of Alaska, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments, Senator Wilson. I do caution that tax planning is very individual and unique circumstances for each person, and a $3,000 dividend could be different than a $2,000 or a $1,000 dividend on people's individual situation. So to try to put something in the bill that covers any and all situations, I think, would be potentially nearly impossible. I think that the advice in the sponsor statement is sound. But again, we will entertain amendments to see what makes sense. If there's any, are there further questions for Senator Wilson or the permanent fund?
Madam Chair.
Senator Michiki.
Yeah, actually, just have a, so we hear from people all over the state on these issues. One of the things we hear is if you don't want your dividend, just don't apply for it and it'll go back to the state. Well, it doesn't. If you don't apply for your dividend, it gets divided by the remaining people that apply for that dividend, so that doesn't work. And then we hear about this. I'm just trying to have help people understand that this will be very convenient. I do support it, but we are evaluating methods so it doesn't, in either way, it will cost you your tax bracket to participate. And that's separate than the issue on how individual taxpayers are affected by the bill. Thanks.
Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Also, we just want to put on the record, too, that, you know, last year we had a new program added to the permanent fund dividend. As one member has talked about the amount of money on the floor, about how much that's raised, maybe Ms. Westlake can talk about how that has not really negatively affected the other charitable givings to our program. Just give an update on where our other charitable givings might be at with the permanent fund dividend contributions.
Sure, Madam Chair. So we did add the education raffle last year, and we were pleased to see that the numbers for Picklet Give did not decline, nor did the numbers for UA College Savings. But we did, again, see nearly $1 million in addition for the education raffle. So I think that was a positive.
Thank you. Thank you for that update. Okay, any further discussion? All righty. We will set Senate Bill 92 aside for further review. Please let my office know as soon as possible if you have any concerns or amendments. That concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting will be tomorrow at 9 a.m. We will be hearing an update on labor contracts from the Department of Administration. We are adjourned.